What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take this morning's look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The epidemiological report from the Ministry of Health on Monday reveals that 362 new COVID-19 infections were registered in the last 24 hours. Regarding deaths, it indicates that the accumulated number is 8,118 after reporting three new deaths and updating one from an earlier date. The new cases were known after performing 6,662 tests, which shows a positivity of 5.4%. Active cases amount to 3,113, of which 2,975 are in home isolation and 138 are hospitalised. Those in isolation, they're divided into 2,945 at home and 30 in the hospital hotels. There are 115 patients hospitalised in the wards and there are 23 patients in the intensive care units. The health authorities announced that vaccination against COVID-19 in schools would begin on Monday, the 14th of March, as part of the strategies to protect the population from the virus at the start of the 2022 school year. Yaritza Rios, Regional Director of Health of San Miguelito, announced that the nursing teams of the Ministry of Health already have a schedule for immunisation in schools nationwide and that it would start next Monday. Rios affirmed that not only will they be immunising against the coronavirus, but other vaccines in which there has been low coverage due to the pandemic will also be applied. She called on parents to send their children's vaccination card in order to see what vaccines that they need and ensure that they have the complete schedule, and also that they authorise for their children to receive the vaccinations. Remember, the vaccination is the decision of each parent, and this will be done with prior authorisation, said Rios. The vaccine against COVID-19 is safe since its efficacy has been demonstrated. Now, according to the latest data provided by the Ministry of Education, about 80% of the student population over 12 years of age is immunised against COVID-19. Regarding the paediatric vaccination for children between 5 and 11 years of age, the Ministry reported that there is 35% coverage. Some 954,233 students began on Monday to return to the classroom after 2 years of absence due to COVID-19. The President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, attended the official ceremony organised for the start of the school year at the La Concepcion School in Juan Díaz. There, the President expressed that after 24 difficult months, as of this Monday, the right step has been taken, although he acknowledged that much remains to be done. President Cortizo mentioned that 3,102 official schools in the country, as of March the 4th, there are 2,573 centres operating, that is 82.95%. Meanwhile, as of March the 11th, there will be 2,623 operational centres, that's 84.56%, and of March the 18th, there will be some 2,668 adequate centres, that's 86.01%, he detailed. In that sense, the Panamanian president also recalled that each school has resources available from the Fund for Equity and Quality of Education. Now, this fund can be used for the purchase of laboratory equipment, school furniture, educational technology, teaching materials, as well as the repair and maintenance of educational centres and the strengthening of nutritional programmes. President Cortizo indicated that as of February the 28th of this year, they had $69,100,000 unused dollars from this fund available for repairs and maintenance, and add $18,100,000 from the last quarter of last year. Let's do what needs to be done to ensure a productive school year, he said. Bocotoreño deputy Benicio Robinson, who presides over the ruling PRD party, acquired through a private foundation a farm in Boquete. The sale was made through a triangulation. However, its traces lead to one of the most important contracting companies of the Panamanian state, Bagatrac SAR. La Prensa visited the vicinity of the land and found that three luxurious houses were being built on the same number of farms, a place where La Prensa was able to observe machinery and equipment from Bagatrac, whose owner, Alberto Jurado, ignored every message that La Prensa sent him, nor did he answer their calls. Robinson denied that last December he denied owning a house in Boquete, but given the documentation that rests in the public registry on the purchase of the farm through his foundation, the deputy ignored for weeks the new communication attempts that were made. Almost simultaneously with the construction of the houses, including Robinson's, presumably the Social Assistance Directorate, this was formerly known as the PAN, attached to the Ministry of the Presidency, carried out public acts awarded to Bagatrac to provide water and paved roads in the area where these houses are located. Any approval of a domain forfeiture law in Panama is done correctly. It should not raise fears about the possible affectation of the presumption of innocence nor the rights of individuals. This was warned by the Attorney General of Accounts, Waleska Homachea, and the magistrate of the First Criminal Chamber and substitute of the Constitutional Chamber of El Salvador, Ramon Garcia. This was during a recent discussion on the subject organized by the National Bar Association. Hormachea pointed out that with a law that involves the participation of a prosecutor and a judge, citizens can make use of their right to defense and due process. The official said that the Constitution of Panama is the basis for legislation of this type, which means that the rights to defense and other guarantees are safeguarded. We cannot speak to the presumption of innocence in asset forfeiture because the assets are not going to be responsible for anything, said Garcia, who recalled that a similar law has been applied in his country since 2014. The prosecutor must demonstrate that the assets were obtained illegitimately and the process is subject to the control of a judge, it was explained. Since last February the 2nd, a legislative subcommittee has been created, chaired by Deputy Roberto Abrego, together with colleagues Juan Diego Vasquez and Corina Cano. Now, discussing the pros and cons of Bill 625, which adopts the legislation for the extinction of domain of illicit goods, which was presented in April of 2021 before the National Assembly by the Minister of Security, Juan Pino. Pino assures that this would be a vital tool in terms of security, since it would hit the financial muscle of criminal organizations. A group of 22 people who belong to the Baghdad gang were sentenced on Monday for the crime of gang activity, reported the public ministry. According to the reports of the First Superior Prosecutor's Office against Organized Crime, this criminal group operated in various sectors of the district of La Chorrera in the province of West Panama. On the 10th of February, the arrest of the first 8 members of the Baghdad gang was reported during the Corintios operation and that they operated in Tocumen in eastern Panama. This operation was a strategy with which the First Superior Prosecutor's Office against Organized Crime and the National Police dismantled the structure that this group had in Tocumen in the eastern area of the capital district. Now, according to the anti-gang prosecutor Alexis Medina and the director of the Judicial Investigation Directorate, Carlos Valencia, during the operation, 13 people were apprehended, 8 of them members of Baghdad, and the other 5 with cases for the alleged commission of crimes against the economic heritage and drugs. Although the Comptroller General of the Republic announced the definitive and permanent elimination of the mobilization expenses that allow some mayors and representatives to have monthly incomes of more than $10,000, the entity in charge of overseeing public finances suggests the use of the expense from unforeseen to events in the communities that, due to their magnitude and nature, cannot be foreseen. In a circular dated the 3rd of March and published in the Official Gazette last Friday, the 4th of March, addressed to local authorities and municipal inspection teams, the Comptroller, Gerardo Solís, communicates his decision. The measure is taken after criticism against this practice, which had been defended by Solís himself, alleging autonomy of local government. Well, now, Solís says that the decision comes after an economic and functional study commissioned in 2007, and that it is his management 2020 to 2025 that executes it. As of this circular, he adds, payments will not be endorsed under the concept of mobilisation expenses. However, he points out that any disbursement that is based on eventualities that cannot be foreseen in the communities will use the object of expense with code 930, unforeseen, because it is more in line with current regulations. These disbursements will be endorsed as long as they adhere to the guidelines for use and accountability that will be prepared for this purpose. If the local authorities have already approved their budget, as in fact has happened in several municipalities, they will have to make transfers, and those that have not have to abide by the new guidelines. Quarterly reports must be submitted on unforeseen expenses, and these will be examined, analysed and published in transparency, so that it can be objectively decided whether they can be increased, maintained or decreased. The unused amount must be returned to the municipal treasury. Now, regarding personal allowances, the circular states that the salaries and expenses of representation of mayors, representatives and other municipal officials must be adjusted to the limit established in Law 248 of October the 29th of 2021, the general budget of the state. That indicates that these allowances cannot be higher than that of a Minister of State, who between salary and representation expenses earns $7,000 a month. Regarding paid leave defended by Solis on the 5th of January in the National Assembly, the circular states that local authorities may continue to enjoy this prerogative established in Articles 72 and 83 of Law 37. This was the 29th of July of 2009, which decentralisation of public administration as long as this norm is not reformed or declared unconstitutional. The recent rainfall in the canal basin has allowed the Panama Canal Authority, the ACP, to postpone the previously announced draft adjustments in the Neo-Panamax locks to begin on the 1st of March. Through a notice sent to shipping companies, the ACP had announced a reduction of half a foot in draft as of the 1st of March, but after the rains it was postponed until the 16th of March. Gatun Lake registers a level of 85.6 feet, similar to the one it had on this same date last year, which was a year with a lot of rainfall, and higher than the level of 2019, one of the driest years in recent decades. Based on the projected level of Gatun Lake for the coming weeks, the maximum authorised draft for the Neo-Panamax locks will remain at 15.24 metres, or 50 feet, until the 15th of March. The ACP notice indicates... It was reported that as of the 16th of March of 2022, the maximum authorised draft for vessels transiting the Neo-Panamax locks will be 15.09 metres or 49.5 feet. As of March the 29th of 2022, the maximum authorised draft for vessels transiting the Neo-Panamax locks will be 14.94 metres or 49 feet. That is 1 foot less than the depth capacity of the Neo-Panamax locks. However, the ACP indicates that it continues to monitor the Gatun Lake in order to announce future adjustments in a timely manner. The ACP communicates draft adjustments at least 30 days in advance of the application date. And that's it. There we go. There's our look. Those are some of those things relevant to us today here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on The Breakfast Show.